I'd like to welcome you to the midnight shift. Derek got me on this, so I'll get him later. But anyway, we call it the midnight shift because it's the one you got to drudge through this. But the Lord give us help and we'll get through it. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to begin reading at verse 13. Paul says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's ask God to help us. Father, we do thank you that you've given us the equipment we need to fight against the enemy of our souls. And Father, we need to know how to use that equipment. Father, we need you and your power and your might and your strength to win this war against the enemy of our souls. And Father, we pray that you help us today as we look at your word to learn more and more how to use it to the glory of your name. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We come now to the final and sixth piece of the whole armor of God that the Apostle Paul exhorts the Ephesians brethren, as well as all Christians, to take up and to put on in order that we may wage war against the powers of darkness. Now, he calls this piece of armor the sword of the Spirit, and he says, which is the word of God. Now, all the other pieces of armor up to this point have been defensive weapons. It has been weapons that God has provided for the protection of our souls, or you could say for the Roman soldier's whole body. And we looked at specific parts that these things protected. But the sword of the Spirit does not protect parts of the body like these other ones did that protected the soldier from the attack of the enemy. But the sword of the Spirit is his offensive weapon. It is a weapon that he can use to repel the enemy as well as attack the enemy and to put him to flight. God did not only equip us to protect and guard us from the vicious attacks of our enemy, but he gave us equipment that we can attack him back. And what this passage of scripture will show us that we are to resist him. We are to put him to flight. We are to fight him back. Now, there are several scriptures that we looked at over and over again as we've been in this study. And James chapter 4 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Then when he says resist him, he's talking about you need to be on the offense. You need to oppose him. You need to withstand him. You need to stand against all of his vicious attacks at times when he will come against you. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brethren who are in the world. So this sword of resistance that Paul is talking about here is truth. You cannot resist him in your own strength or your carnal reasoning. You must resist him steadfast in the faith. Now, when we talked about the faith, we said that the faith was the whole body of truth. It's the whole word of God. You've got to stand against the devil and you defeat him with the truth. And that's the solid, pure word of God. Now, I want to give you a few quotes about the sword of the Spirit from some really able men who made a few comments about this. Hendrickson says that the sword of the Spirit is the spoken word of God. Wilson says that this is the only offensive weapon in the Christian's armory. This is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And he says, he quotes Ephesians 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So he goes on to say, only by means of the word of God can the believer put the powers of darkness to flight and make them leave. In other words, he said, you need to know and understand the word of God and use it to put up effective resistance against the enemy of your soul. Vaughn says this. He says, the sword of the Spirit is a sword that is supplied by the Spirit for the Christian. No other offensive weapon is needed. Once you have the word of God, you need nothing else to fight against the enemy of your soul. And then he gives the example in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. He says, a Christian put Apollyon to fight by the word. And this shows that it is more than enough to meet our need in time of attack and to drive away the powers of darkness. Now, concerning this expression, the word of God, it is pointed out that in the Greek, this means God's utterance. And one man points this out. He says that when Paul wrote this passage of scripture, much of the New Testament had not been written at this time. At this time, the Holy Spirit was still speaking directly to the church apart from written revelation. And he gives 1 Corinthians 14 to prove what he's saying. But then he goes on to point out the fact that in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus made use of the written word of God in his wilderness temptation. In other words, he used and he quoted from the Old Testament. You know, Satan says, command these stones to become bread. And when Jesus answered here, Matthew 4:4, he answered, and the first thing he said is, it is written. And then he quotes Deuteronomy 8:3. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So what this man is pointing out is the fact that the believing use of scripture in the Old and New Testament is a mighty weapon in the conflict with the powers of darkness. And the point he's trying to say here, Jesus is our perfect example of how we need to use this weapon. So when we talk about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that's exactly what your Savior used when he went against Satan in the wilderness. Now, what I want to do now is define the sword of the Spirit. We're to take up this sword of the Spirit. This is the sword that the Spirit gives or supplies to us for warfare. And then he tells us that this sword is the word of God. Now, some people translate this verse wrong. Just to give you an example, the New English Bible translates this verse like this. He says, for the sword, take that which the Spirit gives you, which is okay. What he says so far is okay. And then he says, the words that come from God, that is error. Because this translation, when you translate the words that come from God, what this does is this opens doors to mysticism, because any kind of words that come to a person in times of trouble and stress are not the words of God. Now, if you've been a charismatic like I had been, you know, in times past in my life, some people think that they get personal revelation from God. Okay, and so they get these specific words from God to get, you know, in specific situations where they're under attack. Charismatics would say, well, you know, I got a word of knowledge, or I got a word of wisdom from God, and they will try to use that as a weapon against Satan. Now, it does not say words that come from God. The sword of Spirit is the word of God. It is scripture. You know, it's the written revelation. It's the Bible that you hold in your hands. That is the word of God. You don't fight the devil with words that come from God, because words that come from your mind could come from anywhere. But one thing we know, this came from God. And so people will try to take stuff like that and say, well, that's what I'm fighting the devil with. And they're going to lose in this battle, because you have to beat the devil with the written word of God. Another false interpretation is to say that the Holy Spirit himself is the word of God. Now, if you know your Bible at all, you know that the Holy Spirit is never described as the word of God. Who's described the word of God in the Bible? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one in scripture that is described as the word of God. Just to give you an example, Revelation 19:13 talks about the Lord coming back. It says he was clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was the divine Logos, the divine Word of God. So, two errors there. The Holy Spirit is not the sword, and he's telling us to take up the sword that the Holy Spirit has provided for us. And that sword that the Holy Spirit has provided us for us is the Holy Scriptures, the Bible that you hold in your hand. Now, we must look at our Lord's temptation in the wilderness, because he was tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, you got to remember, when this temptation took place, Christ had been baptized by John the Baptist into Jordan. He had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 says, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That's important to note. In verse 2, this temptation begins when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And the scripture said, afterward, he was hungry. So what are we seeing when we read that? Satan is going to tempt him at what he would think would be an opportune time. Satan is coming when he is weak and he's hungry. You know, he's got physical weakness. This is a time of great temptation of the flesh. So the first thing he says to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Now, our aim and purpose is not to look at the temptation of Christ per se. But I do want to point out the fact that when he was in the wilderness in this temptation, this was a furious battle. And this battle, you got to remember, would not have been furious at all if the Son of God had not taken on human nature. Because God cannot be tempted. But Christ, because he emptied himself and came in the likeness of men, he assumed human nature. He had to fight just like we fight, and he fought with the scriptures. And he knows exactly what it's like to fight Satan in the flesh. In fact, it was so fierce that when it was over and he made the devil flee, he said after the devil left him, the angels came and ministered to him to show us how fierce that battle really was. And there's a lot more you can say there, but I want to point one thing out. Jesus leads the perfect example of the only way to make Satan flee. That's the only way. And he was filled with the Spirit. He resisted the devil with it is written. And he made him flee by quoting the written word of God. Now, you notice he did not merely quote words given to him by God at that moment in this situation. What I said before, he didn't just get a word from God. No, he quoted the word of God. And the weapon he used was simply scripture, Old Testament scripture. Now, 1 John 1:14, John says, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. Now, he's talking about spiritually speaking, that they are strong. And he says, and the word of God abides in you. And that's the sword of the Spirit. And this is what he says. He says, you have overcome the evil one. In other words, because the word of God abides in you, because you know how to use the sword of the Spirit, because you have hidden God's word in your heart, you have put the enemy of your soul to flight. You have made him retreat from you because you simply know how to use the sword that has been given to you by the Holy Spirit. So we as the people of God are instructed to fight Satan and the powers of darkness with the same weapon that Jesus Christ fought him with, and that's in scripturated revelation. Now, it's most important in this fight against Satan and the powers of darkness that we know and understand the word of God. We need to understand the word of God. We need to understand, as our brothers taught us this morning in Sunday school, the authority and the meaning of the word of God. And we need to understand and know the one who gives authority to the word of God, because that's the weapon he's given us to fight with. Now, the first thing I want to say about this is look at the relationship between the Holy Spirit and the word of God, because it's very important. One man says that it is absolutely disaster to separate the word of God and the Holy Spirit. He says they always go together. And I know exactly what he's talking about, because when you separate the Holy Spirit from the word of God, I've seen people get into mysticism. And on the other side, when you separate the Holy Spirit from the word of God, all you got is dead orthodoxy. We say, what do you mean? You got dead religion. There's no life in the word of God. And as we talked this morning, the life in the word of God comes from the Holy Spirit. Everything that is connected with the word of God is always a result of the operation of the Holy Spirit from beginning to end. And, you know, we have to remember as a church, and I think sometimes we might forget it, but, you know, I forget it in my life. Jesus said, when I leave here, I'm sending the Comforter, and he will bring to your remembrance all things that I've told you. You know, we'll talk about later. He's the one that will illuminate our minds to the scriptures. And the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired men to write the scriptures. And in that sense, it's the sword of the Spirit. The scriptures came from the Holy Spirit. Y'all with me? Pastor Derek was teaching that this morning. He said all scripture is given by inspiration of God because they are God-breathed. You could also say that they are spirit-breathed. It's because he says in 1 Peter 1:20, he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the word of God is the sword of the Spirit because the Holy Spirit produced it and because he gave chosen men the revelation and he guided these men in recording that revelation. So we cannot successfully fight the powers of darkness in our own strength. We know that, our own power, our own ideas. We must fight him with the word of God that has been produced by the Holy Spirit himself, because he is the author of the scriptures. And the scriptures calls the word of God the sword of the Spirit. Now, another thing about the Holy Spirit, he enables us to understand the word of God as well as receive it. You know, we talked about that this morning in Sunday school. We sang this hymn, says that the Spirit breathes upon the word and brings the truth to sight. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, for what man knows the things of the man except the spirit of the man that is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Then what he does is he reveals these things of God to the people of God. And God has revealed these things that he's prepared for his people by his Holy Spirit. You know the things of God today for one reason, the Holy Spirit. You can study book after book. You can know the Bible inside out. But without the Holy Spirit, you don't understand anything you've read. You don't understand nothing about it. That's why, as our brother told us this morning, you got to have a new heart and a new mind. God must give you his Spirit because his Holy Spirit is the one who reveals the things of the word of God to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 to 14. We won't read it. I'm hurrying up for your sake today. But it's 2:10-14. The Holy Spirit helps believers to interpret scripture. Truth must be spiritually discerned. You must have the Holy Spirit in order to understand the revelation that has been written down. So he's very important when you come to talking about the sword of the Spirit. And then the Spirit alone can enable us to use the word of God properly in any situation. And this is very important in warfare. Because in order to properly and safely use a gun, you need to be taught how and when and how to properly carry a gun. A lot of people carry guns that don't need to be carrying guns, you know, because they don't know how to properly use a gun. But it's the same thing, spiritually speaking, with the sword of the Spirit, because in order to know how to properly use it in spiritual warfare, you must be taught by the Holy Spirit how to properly use the word of God when you're in warfare. And I just want to take you back to the very first piece of armor that we were instructed to put on and try to make a comparison here. Ephesians 6:14, Paul says, stand therefore having your loins girded with truth. Y'all remember that one? And so the question would come out, what is the difference between having your loins girded with truth and taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God? So what would be the difference there? Well, to have your loins girded with truth, he's speaking of the whole word of God. Your loins need to be girded with a working knowledge of the whole Bible. You said, you telling me I got to read through the Old Testament like Derek did, and I'm glad he read that tonight. But good. He's got that young brain. He's good. But you know, you telling me that I have to understand and know the Old Testament? Yes. And one reason why we need to understand the Old Testament, because Christ is in the Old Testament. So that's one reason why you need to understand that. You need to have a working knowledge of the whole Bible and its doctrine. You need to know the central truth of salvation, God's plan and scheme of salvation that is written in the Holy Scriptures. So when he says you need to have on the belt of truth, you need to have a working knowledge of the whole Bible and the doctrines of the Bible. And so that's why we're going over the confession of faith, you know, the first thing every month, and getting into the catechism and things like that, so we can understand and know the word of God. We have nothing to fight without the word of God. Nothing. You say, well, I will use my knowledge. Your knowledge, well, anyway, but it's not that much, you know. And the devil would laugh at your knowledge. He would laugh at your, he's wild, he's craftily, he knows things that you don't know. But he doesn't know anything that God don't know, and plus God knows way beyond him. And God gives us that knowledge to fight the enemy of your soul. But what I'm saying there is when you have your loins girded with truth, he's speaking of the whole word of God. And then when he talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, what that speaks of is a detailed knowledge of God's word. You say, what are you saying? It's a knowledge of particular or specific scriptures. Now, it speaks of our ability to select a specific scripture or a passage of scripture in different situations in life, you know, as we fight against the enemy. You need to be able to go into your belt of truth and pull out, it is written for this situation. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And he went and pulled out of his belt of truth in the Old Testament, you know, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, he didn't quote to the devil the whole Bible. He just knew the scriptures where he knew what scripture to quote while he was in this warfare. And that's why you need to have your loins girded with truth. Pastor Derek read this one, Psalm 119. The psalmist talks about all these different situations in his life where he was delivered by the word of God. And you say you're a man and you're fighting lust and things like this. Well, all you got to do is go to Job. I made a covenant with my eyes. I would not look upon the maids. You know, Jesus said, if you even look upon a woman with lust, you commit adultery with it already in your heart. That's scripture. That's the belt of truth. That's where you go. Grab that scripture out and fight this fight. And stop saying, I'm just so weak. Don't know what to do. Well, look at the Bible. Read it. Quote it. Because the devil's going to come again. And again, and he's going to come at an opportune moment. And so if you got on the belt of truth, you should be able to reach down in that belt and pull out a scripture you need right now. Would y'all pray for me? Go get a scripture and fight. Because that's what he's telling us to do. But it speaks of our ability to select that specific scripture for the moment. And depending on how the enemy attacks us, we will be able to pull our sword out of that belt of truth and fight with the enemy of our souls. Now, we need to be able to quote and apply which part of scripture we need to resist him, depending on what form of temptation he comes against us with, is what I just told you. And concerning our Lord's temptation, you look back at Jesus' temptation, he knew exactly what part of scripture to choose to make the devil flee. He knew how to apply it in all three of Satan's specific temptations that he came against Jesus with. He had an answer for every one of those temptations. Brethren, it'll be good to memorize scripture. My brain won't do it like it used to, but I know where they're at. So when something comes up, I do know what book to go to get it. You know, when the devil's on the attack, you don't have time to say, I wonder if that's in the Old Testament or New Testament. You got time to do it. You got to know where the books of the Bible are. And, you know, like what Derek went over all these things this morning. That stuff is important. God didn't just give you that for nothing. He gave you that for a reason. And me too. Because you don't have time. You need to learn it because there is an enemy of your soul. And believe me, he will be after you till you leave this earth. You know, I say, well, you know, in retirement age, things should cool down and get easier. No, it gets more complicated. And I'm going, this is not going to stop till I either hit the grave or the Lord Jesus comes back. Now, some of your lusts may subside and things like that, but the devil never quits. Now, the good news is it's the Holy Spirit's sword that's given to us to fight with. It's not our sword. And he leads us to his word. And he enlightens us, and he will remind us of the appropriate scriptures for the specific temptation. Now, we have a promise in John 16:13, which he gave to the apostles, but he's called the Spirit of Truth. And he said that he will lead and guide us into all truth, and he will bring to our remembrance the things that have been told to us. So when you need an answer with scripture, pray, Holy Spirit, help me. Give me a scripture for this situation. because I can't remember what that scripture was, but I know something was said, and he will help you, and he will bring things to your remembrance. I've been in situations with people at time, and they get into this. People ask you some of the most complicated things about religion, and you have to answer these crazy questions. And the Holy Spirit has helped me a lot of times to properly answer the question. And a lot of times the devil will bring people to you with stuff that you need to answer and everything. If the Holy Spirit's with you, you will have an answer for them that will satisfy God and will deliver you from the temptation to answer it wrong. So I'm saying this evening that the more Bible we know, the more effective we will be able to use the sword of the Spirit and to make Satan flee. It's spiritually healthy to know the Word of God. Now, I'm going to give you a passage of scripture, and this is mainly for ministers, but it can apply to all Christians, because Satan doesn't just attack ministers. Satan attacks all of us. Now, he specifically attacks ministers, but he attacks all of us. It's 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker. You know what a worker is, don't you? It means labor. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You say, well, now I sit down with my Bible, and some of these things I can't understand. That's why God sends you to church. Because he put teachers in the church to teach us the doctrines, just like we did this morning, and he labored this morning in teaching us the things about scripture and stuff like that. That's why God says, come to the house of God, and I will help you even more to understand scriptures even better than you know now. Sound doctrine is key when you're in warfare and things. Sound doctrine is key to knowing God and who he is. God has equipped us with men to teach us the word of God. Acts 17:14 talks about the Bereans. He calls them honorable because they search the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. You say, what are you saying today? Don't put your Bible down. You know what you're doing when you put your Bible down? You're taking your sword and burying it. And you have nothing to fight with except your logic, your common sense, and coincidence. And none of it will beat the devil. None of it. You have to have the word of God. Now people say, well, that's bondage and everything. Okay. Devil don't care. He's coming. And he will bring his cohorts with him, and he will pester you. But you can make him flee with the word of God. And you're not doing it in your strength. It's God's strength. It's being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The only way that you can be strong in the Lord is to do it through the things the Lord tells you to do. God says, this is how you can be strong. He's not telling you, you some great, you know, Christian or something that can run the devil away and stuff like that. No, he's saying, this is the way that you tap into my strength. And we do what he tells him. And that's what makes us strong in the Lord and the power of his might. All of it is God's strength. It's not our strength. But we have to obey him in the way he tells us to do it. So I'm just about through. Soak yourself in truth, and your sword will be sharp and ready to go. And it'll be ready, available for warfare at all times. People get weak when they put down the word of God. People get defeated when they put down the word of God. When we tell you to do devotions, when we tell you to pray, when we tell you these things, all we are telling you is this is healthy for your soul, this is protection for your soul, and this is what the word of God tells us to do. That's all it is. It's not legalism. It's not bondage. I know people call it that. Call it whatever you want to. But this is what God said do. He said, you want to survive as a Christian? You want to be able to overcome the enemy? You want to fight the good fight of faith? Then God said, this is the way you do it. And it always has something to do with prayer and the word of God. Always, you know, because that's the only thing that we can basically use to fight the devil. We have nothing else but God, his word, and pray to God and the Holy Spirit. That's all we have. Well, if you're unconverted today, I'll tell you this morning, or this evening, that you are saved by the truth, which is the word of God. I like what Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And this truth that you need to know to get set free is where Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You need to know the truth as it is in Jesus. And once you believe that and know this, God will set you apart from himself, and God will equip you, and he will prepare you for warfare with the enemy of your soul. Because outside of Christ and his holy word, you have nothing at all to stop the devil from completely destroying you for all eternity. The word of God. That's one of the most precious things that we have. I told Benice, I said, well, if I lost everything, it'd be two things that I wanted to keep. Number one, my Bible, and the other thing is my fishing poles and stuff. But other than that, you know, they can have the rest of it. That's it. But don't take my Bible. Because you take my Bible, you've taken my life. I need that. And there's people in other countries would love to have the Bibles that we have. They would love to have them. I'm sure they're getting them nowadays, but they can get it better than they used to. So next time when we meet, we'll briefly look at the negative side of the sword of spirit, because there's many people who falsely use the Bible as a sword to do Satan's work in this world. I see preachers on TV do it all the time. And we begin to look at what the Apostle Paul says about prayer, because without prayer, the armor of God is totally ineffective. You know, you can have on the armor and know what the armor of God is all about, but without prayer, it's totally ineffective. So we need to have the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. And the way we shod ourselves with them is we put on the belt of truth, and we're able to go anytime we need it into that belt of truth and pull out a scripture and fight the enemy of your souls. God has been so good to us to give us a way to win. You know, what if we had to figure out how to beat the devil? I said, we would never win, you know. But God, because he loves us and we're his children, he's equipped us to win this thing. Now, when I say win, everybody says, well, nothing goes wrong in my life again. That's not what I'm talking about. We're trying to stay true to God. We're trying to live for his glory. And you're going to need these weapons to even stay in the race to the very end. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us. Father, we thank you for the word of God, because, Lord, we know that you sustain us through your word. And, Father, we ask you to help us to understand it better and to use it in warfare and to use it for your glory. Father, we thank you that we fight in your might and in your power. And as we've been told today, without you, we can do nothing. And Father, we do pray that you make us strong in you and the power of your might. And Father, we pray that you would move by your spirit and use your word to save sinners in our midst. Father, our heart's desire is that you be glorified through us as a church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.